This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jazz, here till it ends. Meet up with Pastor Fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline is here to shine away. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's another episode of Community Building here on Post Show Recap Stock in Season 1, Episode 16 of Community Communication Studies. I am Josh Wiggler. I'm joined here by somebody who is not an alumnus of Princeton, but does have a suspicious amount of Princeton paraphernalia, Jess Sterling.
Waza!
My goodness.
It had to be done.
Someone had to do it. Someone had to do it. Do we want to say what's up to our special guest today?
Of course. Of course. Here from the Real Weird Sisters, Martha is joining us. Martha,
what's
how are
up?
You? What's up? Happy Valentine's Day, guys.
Oh, my God.
So excited to be here.
We are a little bit off, right? From real Valentine's Day. What is it? We missed it by... Oh, God. I just realized I missed Valentine's Day.
It's like Christmas in July, but Valentine's Day in May.
Oh, no.
Let's not forget the true meaning of Valentine's Day, the birth of St. Valentine.
That's true. That's true. Have you ever sent yourself Valentine's Day gifts like Pierce and Troy?
I have not. If I did, I probably would make the same mistake that Troy did. I think I probably would accidentally sign it to myself. I probably wouldn't go with the alibi that Pierce went with, but
this feels like something I would have done, too. I felt like this was very relatable to, like, middle school Wiggler, like, would have done something like this for sure. Send himself some chocolates.
You definitely, just buy yourself chocolates.
Yeah, you
make
could.
A show
you
of
don't
it.
Actually have to make the whole show of, like, pretending it's from somebody
What's
else.
What's the point? Like, yeah. Wait, why do that? I mean, if the criteria is just buying yourself chocolates, then every day is Valentine's Day.
This is the pre-treat yourself era. I think that's what we're finding out, is that it was not really as acceptable to treat yourself at that point. So
I suppose.
Now we've reached that pinnacle of our society now where we're allowed to do that.
I suppose that's true. Martha, welcome to Community Building. Martha,
thank
of
you.
The
I'm
real
very excited to be here.
Of those Real Weird Sisters, for anybody who's listening to Community Building and doesn't know what that is, other than an incredible turn of phrase, why don't you fill the folks in on what the Real Weird Sisters are all about?
Well, first of all, congratulations to both of you for saying the Real Weird Sisters correctly 3 times in a row. It's a very hard name to say, as I'm sure you both have experienced, so good job. I'm very impressed.
Real Weird Sisters, Real Weird Sisters.
Yeah. That's good. I stumble over it myself, and I've been podcasting for 5 years with that title. So, we are
it's a lot. It's a lot
podcast.
To get through, but it's fun.
Yes, mm-hmm. It is. Well, the story really quickly is that we were going to be just the Weird Sisters, but there was another podcast with that title, so we changed it to the Real Weird Sisters without thinking about how that was actually kind of hard to say. But we are a Harry Potter podcast. It's me and my sister Alice. We started as a book club where we were going chapter by chapter through the series. We finished the book club about a year ago, and now we're doing character studies, and we have a new series that we're doing periodically, which is our Take 5 series with special guest a few weeks ago, Shut Up Tim, where we talk about Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, the movie, Alfonso Cuarón's greatest masterpiece, according to some. And we talk about it 5 minutes at a time. So we do one episode for the first 5 minutes. We've done 3 of those Take 5s so far. And that's been really
fun. The podcasts are 5 minutes?
No.
Or you're talking about 5 minutes of the movie?
We wish they were 5 minutes, but Shut Up Tim, you can't talk to Shut Up Tim for just 5 minutes. So
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It is 5 minutes of the movie. We talk about it for a little about an hour. So
yeah,
we find plenty of stuff to talk about in the 5 minutes at a time of the movie.
How many times do you watch the 5 minutes that you have to podcast about?
Usually 3, maybe 4.
Still only 15 minutes of preparation.
Yeah, exactly. Tim claims that he watches it like 5 or 6 times. I don't know if he's just making that up. Mm. He probably watches it like once, but they've been a lot of fun. Definitely. Really enjoying doing that Take 5 series with Tim and Alice, of course, as well.
Would you say that Jess and I are screwing things up by not watching Community 5 minutes at a time? Like, have we been doing the podcast wrong?
You'd have less preparation if you did it that way. But then the best thing about the 5 minute at a time format is that you are just going to go on forever with this. Because we picked the third movie because it's like the one that Alice and I nitpick the most because there's so many just crazy things. But it's also a really popular one. So that's why we picked that movie. But we have, you know, 2.5 hours split into 5 minutes. That's not math that I can do right now. But it's going to take us a long time to get through that. We have an infinite number of podcasts pretty much built into the vault that we'll be able to do. So if you wanted to extend the length of the community building podcast of how many episodes that you end up having.
Just is a good idea.
Yeah, because 5 seasons wasn't enough. We need to add on an extra, you know, 10 years.
What about
quadrupling it? You'd just be quadrupling it because they're 20-minute episodes. So
now we've committed to doing 3 seasons of Community, and then we'll see where we go. But Jess, what if we do 5 minutes of season 4? Just minutes of season 4,
oh,
though.
That's you pick, it. Like, that's great.
Yeah, you like pick your 1 5-minute segment that like you feel good about,
and then that's it for season 4. Yeah,
or maybe it's like if it's like 5 minutes of every episode of season 4.
That's fine. I think that's all you need to know that it's trash.
Well, what if it's every episode of season 4?
5 minutes of every episode?
No, it's just everything.
Josh just wants to talk about Community forever, is what I'm hearing.
Honestly, I would love to talk about Community forever, but I think we're going to reach a point of no return.
we may get there. But the night is young. We are still in the stage of the podcast where we haven't started drunk dialing everybody. Abed and God, Jeff. I might be further along than I'm advertising. Oh my God. Which would be problematic for a bunch of reasons. I really enjoyed this episode. I really liked this one. I had a very good time. Martha, give us the quick rundown on like your relationship with Community and like this episode specifically coming into the podcast for episode 16 of season 1.
Yeah, so I was a big fan of Community back when I was in high school, which was when it was airing. Kind of like the, as everybody has said on your podcast, like the golden era of NBC sitcoms. I was watching, you know, The Office, Parks and Rec, Community, all those NBC sitcoms that were on around the same time. And Community was one that I think I binged like the first 2 seasons when they were out on Mega Video, which was, you know, what the option that I had. And then I ended up watching it live. I think I stopped watching around season 5. Somewhere in season 4, maybe. And I don't know if I ever caught up. But I've definitely watched the first 2 or 3 seasons, probably 3 or 4 times. And I just recently rewatched and stopped around the same point as I did before when it came to Netflix. So I definitely used to be a bigger fan than I am now. But the first few seasons just really are great TV. So I was really excited to revisit it when it came back to Netflix. And then when this podcast started, I was like, oh, please, I hope I can cover an episode on there. So, yeah, definitely love Community. It's a great show.
Yeah, for
sure. I
think
it's a really popular opinion that people watched the first 3 seasons, kind of fell off in season 4, and aren't sure if they went back. I feel like that we've heard that a lot of times more recently. It's interesting. I really love season 5. I highly recommend it to people. Season 6 is even decent. I don't think season 6 hits the high highs of 1, 2, and 3. But it's worth a watch, that for sure, I would say. Season 4, not so much. But it's interesting to hear that. Would you go back now? Like, are you interested in doing... Let's pretend we either cover, like, we do 1 podcast for 4, 5, and 6. Like, would you watch seasons 5 and 6?
Yeah, and that was actually my plan when it came to Netflix. It was kind of like, I think, did it come out, like, in May or something last year? Yeah. And that was, like, when I had so much free time. So I was like, I'm going to watch all of Community. And then I watched, I think, through season 2, and then I just started watching something else. And then I was like planning to watch all the way through, and then it just didn't happen. So I really do want to watch all the way through so I can have a, like, I hate having an unfinished show. I have several that are like that I've like, I like Lost as an example.
Sure.
That I watched like, I'm sorry, Josh. Yeah, I know. But I literally have like 5 episodes of Lost that I haven't seen.
So the first 5 minute episode of Community Building, it's over.
Yeah.
You did it.
No, I
know the feeling. I have so many. It's like the half eaten sandwich in the fridge. Like, they just pile up.
It's almost like a seven tenths eaten. Like, it's like so close to being done. And I'm like, yeah. Well, when am I ever going to go back to that? I should just start at the beginning and rewatch, and then it just doesn't happen. So yeah. I need to do that with Community, and I definitely want to. Just haven't had the opportunity.
That was like me with Mad Men. I got so far. And to like ever resituate myself in Mad Men would require much more work than I'm willing to do.
Yeah.
Because I got really far and I couldn't finish it and just like hop back into it.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have to like rewatch it, revisit it. I'm not going to do it.
And there's so much stuff, like, even though we went through a period of time where there weren't a lot of new television shows coming out, now I feel like there's just like a ton of content and other things I could be watching that it's hard to like go back and start something from the beginning just to finish it when like, maybe there's probably a reason you fell off of it in the first place, right?
Right,
like you weren't enjoying it for whatever reason. Yeah, I totally get that.
And every time I try to revisit and I watch the couple seasons that I loved and then I get to the same point, I'm like, okay, there's other things I could be watching or just other things pile up. So I'm glad other people relate.
Yeah. So this week's episode is, and I forgot that last week was Romantic Entanglement was the name of the episode because I thought that would really have applied this week as well, considering it's the Valentine's Day episode, but communication studies. Yeah,
this is this is where I get annoyed with their naming conventions. They don't make it easy on us. Like, at least give us the Valentine's Day title. Be something with romance in it. I mean, I understand communication studies. You know, there's miscommunication, yada yada. But come on, make it easier on us.
Yeah, I feel like it's not the best name, but I thought it was a great episode. I really laughed a lot on this one. Like there were a few things that I thought were a little whatever, but by and large, I had a great time. I just had an utter blast watching episode 16. Like really, really good stuff with I thought, you know, Britta is in great shape. I enjoyed segments of Chang this week more than we normally do. I thought like everyone was pretty good. Maybe a little bit of a quieter episode for one or two characters, but by and large, I thought this was a really fun one.
Yeah, I think that on my first watch through, I usually watch these multiple times for the podcast, and on my first watch through, I wasn't like hyper impressed. I was like, okay, it's an average episode. On a rewatch, I don't know, it hit me differently. I found it a lot funnier than I did on the first watch through, and I gotta say, I know I'm a huge Chang hater a lot of the time. I think this episode really showed his strengths. Martha, what about you? What do you think of the episode?
Yeah, this was a fun episode. I really liked, I feel like we had a couple different pairings, which usually happens in the episode, and I think it was kind of unique pairings for some of them. Like, I think that the Jeff and Abed pairing we don't get all the time, and I liked that. And then, yeah, the Troy and Pierce stuff I thought was pretty funny. I did feel like Shirley and Annie were quieter than I usually like them to be. But yeah, overall, I mean, this was just a fun episode. And I also thought, like you said, Josh Britta was really good in this one. And Britta's one of my favorites. So I enjoyed seeing all the Britta laughs. So
there's
definitely a fun
A lot of really fun Britta content this week.
Yes.
All right, Jess, you want to lead? I'm surprised we got Britta's name right. Bitter, Butter, Beetlejuice.
Nice.
Yes. We start out.
That was hard. That was hard to pronounce.
Yeah. We start out this episode on the Greendale campus. The dean is making an announcement. It's Valentine's Day week. The Greendale human being is the Cupid being delivering your
Chef's
gift.
Chef's kiss. The Cupid being is such a great evolution of the human being. Martha, are you in on the human being? The Greendale human being?
Yes, it is a great, great mascot. Just like a great emblem of the show. I did think that the love is not only blind but also dizzy and a little belligerent. So I was in on the human being from the beginning. Love the Cupid being evolution, like you said.
Yeah,
great.
Very good.
In the commentary, I know that that they were talking about how I guess people wanted the. You'll see later when Troy gives the gift to himself. It's like that. It's the human being. It's like a doll with like a heart. People wanted that to be merch, and I was like, why didn't they have human being merch? Like, people would totally buy that. I would have one. It's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. Do they not have like official human being merch?
Not that I've seen.
I'm nervous
to
look.
A human being Funko Pop.
That'd be great.
I don't know if I can picture that, honestly.
I don't know. I'm not a huge Funko Pop person, but I would get like a little like stuffed thing of the human being. It'd be so much fun.
Yeah,
I would like to get like you know how they you know the like the big cardboard cutouts of people, like I have the Austin Powers one.
I don't know.
Like the that dialogue
might be a little bit, of the human being would be great. Yeah.
It would be a little too scary.
No.
Yeah.
It's just a human being.
That only comes out on Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have it out all the time.
I would like
if anybody wants to hook us up with life-sized human beings, I'm open anyway.
That's taking it out of context.
The kind of thing you don't want. That's the kind of thing you don't want in your virtual background on Zoom. Yeah. Like your coworkers, like yeah. What is that thing?
So yeah.
Well, you're all my coworkers now, so I think everyone here would be fine with it.
I'd still be a little scared.
Yeah. Anyway,
it would definitely catch me off guard.
Yes.
I'm interested. Let me know if it exists. I'll look into it. That'd be great.
So we see the green-tailed human being giving out gifts. Slater is chaperoning the Valentine's Day dance and says Jeff should come with his friends and bitter butter Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff says Britta isn't into Valentine's Day because it ritualizes a connection between affection and candy so girls can learn the ropes of prostitution.
Why is Professor Slater being so mean about Britta with the name?
She doesn't like Britta.
She doesn't,
yeah,
huh?
She's just jealous, yeah. So,
yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Guess that's where we're going here.
She's uncomfortable
also a really
with
hard
the
name to remember. Yeah. Poor Slater. She's not a linguistics professor. She can't remember Britta's name, so yeah. Just gotta cut her some slack.
She was closest with Bitter. It's not too far off.
Yeah, but like, can you imagine your name is Britta and people call you Bitter? That would suck.
I can't imagine my name being Britta.
I don't think Britta has to imagine that, honestly. That's just her reality.
Yeah.
It'd be worse if, I don't know if it'd be worse. I'd be so annoyed if my name was Britta and someone called me like, hey, Britter, you know, but like said it really fast so that like it's almost right. And they're like, hey, Britter, come over here.
I feel like that would be something that would happen like in your neck of the woods, though. Like, because my uncle is from the Bronx and he's, instead of saying my Aunt Donna, he calls her Donner. So
I was going to say, I get Martha sometimes when I'm in different areas of the East Coast. So, yeah.
You
can see Britter being a,
Mm-hmm.
And I don't sometimes, like Martha.
Sometimes I get Jarsh. I get Jarsh.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, Jarsh.
Jarsh.
Jarsh. Jarsh. Jarsh. Yeah. Oh, Jarsh. It's Jarsh.
Yeah.
You all right?
Oh, Jarsh. It's Jarsh.
You okay?
That's what Goofy said.
Like,
yeah.
It
oh, Jarsh.
Sounds like it's Jarsh. Like a Midwestern mom. Oh, yeah. Jarsh. It's Jarsh.
It's Jarsh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
So Jess says that he will join Slater at the dance. He asks her what her expectations are for Valentine's Day, and she tells him to do what makes him happy.
Hmm.
Such a good girlfriend, that
That's
Slater.
Nice. That's nice.
She's the lowest of maintenance.
Yeah. Yes.
We love Slater.
Jeff's going through his voicemails. He has a drunk voicemail from Britta.
Wada! Yeah.
Such early 2000s vibes.
Classic. Classic.
He's very pleased with this.
Yes.
We're in the study room. The Cupid being is handing out gifts.
Yep.
Shirley gets chocolates from the cook with the long beard.
What is it that the cook was saying? Like,
I'm going to get you.
I'm going to get you.
Some chocolates. Yeah. That's what he meant. That was good. That was the best Shirley line of the episode.
That's so good.
Annie gets a flower from Vaughn, who's on a vision quest, of course.
Of course, yes.
Abed gets a muffin basket from an... Yes, we're all on a vision quest.
Yes.
And Abed gets a muffin basket from an actress who wants to be in his film. Happens mm-hmm. all the time.
All the time. Yeah, well, he's very in demand, his work, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Trey and Pierce didn't get anything, and it obviously bothers them very much.
Yes. They're upset. Troy's like, sure, there wasn't anything for Barnes, comma Troy.
Britta walks in, obviously very hungover, aviators on. I'm pretty sure she says the line of like, oh, he has arrows now. That's safe.
Yeah.
To the Cupid being.
Very safe with the magic marker on nylon.
Yes. None
of this is safe. It's very, this is dangerous stuff.
Everyone starts leaving except for Jeff. Jeff asks if he can get her anything, and Britta retorts that he could help himself to a shorter forehead, non-Keebler nose, and shutting up.
Oh, God. And this is when Jeff leans in and plays the voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, it's scripted television and still, the secondhand embarrassment. I don't know if either of you were feeling it, but it was just, I was mortified for Britta in this moment.
Yeah,
this is horrible to watch.
She starts out so powerful, and I can really relate to this feeling of like feeling like you just got a really sick burn on your friend, and then they just come in with this like total annihilation.
They got you.
Yeah,
it's done.
You can see she's so proud of that Keebler Elf burn, which like isn't even that good.
I thought it was great.
Oh, okay,
because when you look at his nose. It's very Keebler-y.
Yeah, it's good.
I felt like the delivery was a little off because of the hangover. Like, I think she was, she could have delivered it a little bit better. Just to nitpick there. And then she thought it was so good. And then he just comes in with the TKO there. So.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah, TKO with the BCI.
Yeah,
booty
there we
call
go.
Implication.
Yeah, I'd never heard of BCI before.
I know what a booty call is, but I've never heard of the term BCI.
No, yeah. This is one of those things where I'm watching and I'm like, is this a thing that Community made up or is it a pop culture reference that I just don't know? Because that happens, you
I
know,
think
50,
they made
50.
It up.
Yeah, I think they made it up, but I never know because I miss a lot of pop culture
on the commentary, Dan Harmon seemed to implicate that it was made up by them. So that's what I'm going to go with. Britta is very embarrassed. She runs away. Abed asks what happened. Jeff said justice happened.
Justice happened.
Abed asks if there was BCI, and Jeff confirms yes.
Oh, yeah, there's
indeed.
BCI.
Yeah, I did like Jeff's like delivery where he says like the reason that it's justice is that she's been denying him for a year just to be alternative. That made me laugh because that's just such a classic Britta. That is the just to be alternative. I felt like that was great delivery.
Yeah, and it's a Jeff thing too to like think that the only reason she's denying him is to be alternative.
It's so great. I mean. This episode is kind of both of these characters. I don't know. I can't say height of their powers because I don't know, you know, much about Community beyond this point. But like, this feels like very like vintage Jeff and Britta. Like, this feels like the versions of the character that I like the best. They're both like really getting one over on each other throughout the episode. So there's a lot of like give and take there. But like, they're also like Jeff in this moment, like, it is like such a kind of like it's like an early Winger meets like this like where he's at with Professor Slater version of Jeff too, where he does like he then once Abed like points out to him and he starts to realize like, oh god, things have gotten weird, like he feels genuinely awful about it seems like. But in this moment, I don't know. He cracked me up. I thought this was hysterical.
Yeah, we'll get into it when we get into the feedback, but I do love these versions of Jeff and Britta, especially because there isn't really a love triangle here. Like, that's not really what's happening, which is why I love it so much, because I don't really care for the love triangle stuff as much.
Sure.
But yes, so Abed basically explains to Jeff that she can't give him crap anymore because he holds all the cards. He shifted the balance, like in a sitcom when one character sees another one naked. I love Abed, like, learning to inflect with sarcasm. It's so funny in this episode.
Oh, yeah, because that's Jeff's, like, does this really happen on TV? And Abed goes, oh, I have no idea. I never watch TV.
Yeah, and that's so the good. Callback to earlier when he says, like, something about Meryl Streep, and then he's like, oh, that was sarcasm, but I forgot to inflect.
So,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
sarcasm is so interesting.
Yeah, that's great. Abed is probably, I mean, spoiler alert, probably the best of this episode for me, and he really was that whole sarcasm thing was great.
He really shines in this episode, definitely.
Yeah.
We're now in Spanish class. Chang is making very weird animal noises.
As like a total non sequitur. They just like show up with this.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on this because I German speaker, kikiriki is what they say, like the cockadoodle-doo for German is kikiriki. Is that what it is in Spanish too? Because I'd never heard that before, and I googled it, but I only knew the German spelling, so that I was like, all that came up was German.
Oh.
But yeah, in apparently in Spanish, the rooster says kikiriki instead of cockadoodle-doo. That's the same in German. So that's
this is like, fascinating.
My head just goes to Arrested Development. Ca-ca, ca-ca!
Right. Well, that's a chicken. That's different.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Clearly.
That's right. Yeah,
I
very
feel
different.
Like Chang probably would do the German version of cockadoodle-doo in a Spanish class. That would not surprise me.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, because that's what he's saying. He's like, in Spanish, they say kikiriki, but maybe there's a Spanish spelling that I don't know.
Yeah.
I tried to fact check, and all I could find was German. But I also was spelling it the German way. But I guess
amazing.
Fact-checking isn't happening here either.
Oh, Deidre in the chat says, yes, it's that in Spanish.
Oh, okay,
kikiriki.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay, so he's being accurate. I would have found it funnier, honestly, if he said it in German.
Super interesting that it's kikiriki in multiple languages, and that English was like,
we should probably do something about that in the English language, start a movement.
Petition.
German teachers, like, German 1 teachers especially love to talk about Kikeriki. Like, they think it's the funniest thing to say. Like,
that's
every
like
German teacher you meet, yeah, it is a thing to be like, well, in German, the rooster says Kikeriki. Yeah. So I don't know if Spanish teachers do that too, but
I'm on board, but I'm a little, I've had bad luck with this. I've been for years trying to push the idea that roosters, when they cry out, are actually crying out, Uncle Jonathan! And it hasn't taken on. It hasn't caught on.
I thought that they were calling out, Garsh, it's Jarsh!
No, they... listen to them. The next time, they go, Uncle Jonathan! That's what they say.
Okay, Jonathan?
They're all calling out for their Uncle Jonathan.
I haven't heard a rooster in a while, and I'm not really itching to, so
next time you listen to a rooster, just open up your ears a little bit wider.
I'll open them wider than they normally are.
Yeah, just like hold it open just like a tiny bit.
But go ears first into the room.
Ears first into the room. Yeah. Put the elbows down just this once.
Let those ears shine.
Just go in and just like, you know, let your ear like Uncle someone's Jonathan. Like yanking you off because you were being bad. So just do that.
Gosh.
Okay. Great.
Uncle Jonathan.
It's real. It's real. Trust me.
It sounds more accurate than Kikeriki to me. So yeah. I'm on board.
I agree with that. Yeah. Cupid being gives Pierce chocolates and Troy a human being with a heart. Oh, it's from the girl I'm dating. Yeah, I met her in biology. She was looking for geology and misread the sign. Yeah, I said, we don't study countries in here. Yeah, she's dumb.
She's
but
dumb,
sweet.
But sweet. Yeah.
She's very sweet. Yeah. And then we love Danielle from Pierce's marketing class. They're sleeping together. The way he says that just kills me.
We're sleeping together.
Pierce was actually funny in this episode. I don't normally like Pierce at all, but I thought that I was like, this is a good Pierce episode.
This has been the trend of season one, certainly. This has been like Pierce's has tickled us more than we would like.
The sentence
I don't love either.
I don't love that. I'd
rather not have Pierce tickle me at all.
I would like to move on from what I said and carry forward as if it never happened.
I do feel like if we had to put a synopsis on our season one recap of community building thus far, the tagline would be Pierce, not that bad.
Not yet.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Yeah. He was pretty funny in this episode. I was like, okay, Pierce. I feel like him being paired with Troy kind of worked for him.
Yeah, I think that's probably why maybe it makes him a little bit more endearing. So Chang's bullcrap meter is going off the charts.
Yeah, it's going kikirikiriki.
It's a great bit, yeah.
Yeah.
In my classroom, I always do this. No, I'm just kidding. I would never.
Yeah. No, it's a good idea. Meter. Yeah.
My dog ate my homework. My bullcrap meter's going off the charts. Yeah.
My bullcrap meter. Yeah. Classic, like, this is network TV.
Yes.
Right.
Can't say the word.
They can't say the S word on network television?
No, definitely not.
Oh, I thought
they
could. I don't know.
No.
What do I know?
No.
He accuses Troy and Pierce of making up the girls. Pierce is in his own handwriting with his tremor. And Troy's assigned love Troy.
Yeah.
It took me a moment to understand what Chang had just said, and I was like, oh, that's so brutal.
Yeah, it was so mean. Yeah. Yeah. Poor Pierce.
Poor old man with his tremors. Yeah, that's so upsetting.
And then Troy just signed it Love Troy. That's
He's like, oh, man. We're in the cafeteria. Annie and Shirley are watching Chang cut Grizzle off his steak and eat it.
Unbelievable. A delicacy. It's a delicacy.
Yeah. The way he was eating this steak was like obscene to me. First of all, he didn't cut it into a small enough piece. So he's just gnawing on a piece of steak on a fork. Like the way he's holding his utensils makes no sense.
That's so beautiful.
So many questionable things about this decision of Chang to eat in the cafeteria for the first, like why teachers shouldn't eat in the cafeteria. I say this as a teacher. Like that's, you're just going to be all eyes on you.
Yeah.
Second of all, steak from the cafeteria. I don't think that was the right decision.
No.
Yeah. So.
But it's a perfect thing to do for Chang as a character to like highlight sort of like the monstrousness of Chang.
Yeah.
Is to like have him cut off like specifically the gristle of steak, not cut it up into anything resembling a manageable bite. And then just like he's not only like chewing on like this rope of gristle. But you watch Ken Jeong's performance. He's like looking around, kind of like he's like a cornered animal, like to see if anyone's watching as he's doing it.
He's protecting his plate as if somebody's going to try to take his food.
Yeah, nobody wants that. And yeah, I do think, again, like he is being watched. He probably is aware of that. So I don't really know what the show is for, but
his physical comedy in this episode is really, really great.
No, anytime he dances, I'm on board because it makes me laugh a lot.
I was going to say that too.
Yes. Yes.
Shirley's upset that Chang is always humiliating everyone, and Annie and Shirley want revenge for what he did to Troy and Pierce.
Yeah.
Then we're in the cafeteria line. Britta and Jeff are having a super awkward interaction. Jeff tries to tell Britta a story about when he was super drunk and got into a fight with an animatronic Ben Franklin at Disney World.
Yeah. She's like, why are you telling me that? Pity me. Pity me.
That was such a bad move on Jeff's part. Like, he just is so, I felt so cringy there.
Yes.
Trying to make her feel better just makes it so much worse.
Yes.
Yeah, he just, this is not the move, obviously. We're in a random classroom, and a young kid is reenacting the scene from Spanish class. He's playing Chang. Abed isn't happy with Leo's acting. Jeff walks in and admits that Abed was right. Britta's acting strange around him. Jeff says Britta's acting like when he saw her naked. And Abed says, tells Jeff it's a resonant premise on sitcoms, and that when it happens on Friends, Rachel needed to see Chandler's penis to even the score.
Yeah, so Jeff says, okay, I will show Britta my penis. Yes. That is his plan.
That's great plan.
Plan.
No, the best part about this scene though is definitely Leo, the Abed's Chang. So funny. He loses his cool just because he just quit smoking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I definitely was like, this was very funny. And the one Papa John's commercial, he thinks he's Christian Bale. That was great.
Yeah. It's a young Daniel Day Kim, this kid.
Yeah. The young, no, I'm sorry. I think you mean the young, the Asian guy from Lost.
Sorry. Right. I misspoke.
How dare you?
Yeah.
So Jeff suggests drunk calling her to even the score. Abed asks Jeff if he's ever acted drunk before. I die every time I watch Jeff pretend to be drunk. Like, it cracks me up. I'm not drunk. Give me my keys. Yeah. It's so good. I thought he did a good job.
I think my favorite part is that he seems like he thinks that he's doing a great job.
Oh yeah,
yes.
But
like, he's doing the drunk acting as well as like anyone does the drunk acting, which is to say like never particularly good.
I thought it was good.
He's thinking about it too much, which like you know that's the whole thing is that he's overthinking it, and then you can tell he thinks he's really good at it. But yeah, I'm glad that Abed didn't gas him up too much about it because he's like, yeah, we're gonna need to.
Yeah,
he's like, be in my place at four to work on this.
Right.
Abed says that if Jeff doesn't do it correctly, Britta might cut and run. And this is when we get the kid actor apologizing to Abed for losing his cool.
Yes, yeah.
He's a young kid's gonna be
young Asian guy from Lost. Yeah. Do you ever see him again, or is that just the one time?
I don't recall seeing him again. If we do, it's not a huge thing. But did you recognize the two other people in the scene with him?
No, I was too entranced by this kid's performance.
So the Troy and Pierce that were, or the people that were playing the Troy and the Pierce in the scene were the same two that were in when Abed makes films about the group and they think he can prophesize what's going to happen. It's the same two actors in that scene.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Consistency.
Yes. We're in Abed's dorm. Abed tells Jeff to try it again. Jeff pretends to drunk dial Britta. Boop, 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 boop. Hey, Britta, your call got me thinking, and thinking got me drinking.
That's great.
Abed doesn't like it. He's not a fan. He's not into it.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't tell, like, at this point, was the plan to have him get drunk, or was he still just practicing acting drunk, because he did drink before he did that. So that's why I think
he's just practicing. I don't think the original plan was for him to get
loaded.
Right.
Yeah.
Beyond belief.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of his mind. Yeah.
So Abed tells Jeff he's been acting his whole life, and now it's time to pass that act up and find the actor that's playing him.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God. It's so great. So when do we get to Abed deciding that he's going to get that the only way forward is to get wasted with Jeff, a la Scorsese and De Niro?
It's coming up, but first we find out that only 50% of the people like Britta. They can be put off by her vacuous mannequin face and her Jodie Foster severity.
Oh, no!
Can you imagine being an actress harsh. And having that written about your face?
I think about this a lot. Like, sorry, Martha, some spoilers about Lost. There's a character named Hurley.
I've seen all but the last six episodes of Lost, Josh, so I know. So
Martha not knowing who Hurley was.
But they would do this where they would like do these storylines where they would like have it be all about like Hurley can't control what he eats. Like,
yeah.
That's like, you know, Jorge, like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Like this kind of stuff. Like, and I don't know, like when you're like close knit as like a cast, like, I don't know if you're an actor, do you have a certain mentality where it's like Teflon, like you embrace. I don't know. I have no idea, yeah, but like, this is what I would never make it.
Yeah.
This reminds me of an episode of Glee when they're doing a roast of Kurt, and apparently the burns that they wrote about Chris Colfer were like really cut him deep, and he was really hurt by those comments because it was like not just about Kurt the character, it was like about what Chris Colfer looks
ruthless.
Like.
Ruthless.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it was a Santana roast, so she like really dives into it. So it's, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm sure like I yeah, that's,
there
that's
are,
like, comes with the trade,
are,
I guess, but
there are few things that hurt worse than great comedy. That's my very profound statement of the day.
Well,
now I'm just gonna hips out.
Elbows
I'm,
out first.
I love that I said hips out as I moved my elbows around. Because I definitely know what elbows are. I'm a human being.
That was good.
I'm a human being for sure. I'm definitely not a human.
So this is when Jeff goes on a rant about Britta. He said she's no barrel of monkeys. She wants everyone to be honest, but she lies to herself. She's seen the world but doesn't get it. She has more fights about stuff that doesn't matter than a YouTube comment section.
Are YouTube comment sections particularly feisty?
Yeah. They can be. Depends on what you're watching. Yeah. But yeah.
In this era for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Oof. Yep. So this is when Abed asks if he finds her attractive. And Jeff says he only found her attractive because she played hard to get. He insists
she bothered
that he's
playing hard to get.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He insists that she's happy. He's happy with Michelle. Abed says, well, Slater's low maintenance, while Brett is irritating, impossible, and unpredictable. Slater likes you how you are, expects nothing from you. You're safe from change and passion. And this is when Jeff
doesn't
getting
like
annoyed.
This. Yeah. Yeah. Abed's trying to like coach, like he's doing the director thing. He's mm-hmm. like, I don't know. What's a good example of a director who's just terrible and like cuts into you so that they like they say like David Fincher makes you do like 100 takes of a 5-second scene.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're asking the wrong person here.
David O. Russell was the one who made a lot of people cry, I think. I don't know. There's some bad directors out there. Abed's trying to go for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He wants Jeff to have a believable performance. Jeff says he can't feel things with Abed studying him like a beige praying mantis. And this is when they start drinking together.
Yeah, yeah.
This montage, so good. A+.
I was really enjoying this episode a lot already at this point. And then this montage comes in where it's like, it's very like Hughes, 1980s, like sort of like Breakfast Club type deal. As Jeff and Abed are just getting schwasties. And the pizza guy shows up and he opens the door and is it Jeff is on the table and
they all are. They all are on the table.
Well, they all go on the table.
The Breakfast Club like, dance.
That like that move from the pizza guy like looking in and seeing like sort of like the dark night of the soul that was happening inside the dorm. And like the next thing you see is that he has now joined them. It's just really, really exceptionally written. This episode, co-written by Dan Harmon and Chris McKenna, Jess of Remedial Chaos Theory fame.
Love Chris McKenna, yes.
Big Chris McKenna fans in this house. Huge.
Yes.
Very sharply written.
I love the montage. It's one of my favorite things from this episode. I wrote down a lot of what they were doing, and I understood most of what they were doing, right? Like beer bong, shotgunning beers, ordering pizza. I get all of those things. What I don't understand is why you would soak hot dogs in vodka and light them on fire. That is not something a normal person
does. They're roasting hot dogs. They
why the vodka?
It's like lighter fluid. Like
get the perfect edible lighter fluid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes perfect sense.
I don't think I would do it. Like a vodka marinated hot dog, Jess? What? You've never had that?
Never tried it,
Not so much. But I love like I love this montage because I think a good montage, you remember the song after it happens, and I can like I have the song in my head right now thinking about this scene. It's so good.
Yeah.
We're in Spanish class the next day. Jeff and Abed aren't there. The Cupid being enters with a letter, and Shirley and Annie smirk. The letter is for Chang. Princeton wants to make him an associate professor of the Spanish department.
Oh, my God!
And he gets Princeton, name you think
He gets you think you fool me?
And I love, I will never not love the Annie and Shirley finger touch. Like,
yes.
I love it so much. It's so good.
Yes.
Chang immediately knows it's a prank. He blames Pierce and Troy, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. You two will now have to escort me to the dance wearing elegant ladies' pantsuits, or else you fail the class. Mm. Pierce says, you can't do that to us. To which Chang says, have you met me? Which
is that's the best line of the episode. Yeah. Yeah. Have you met me? Yeah, I love
that. Have you met me?
Yeah. No, I just feel so bad for Shirley and Annie because they really tried. There's a swing and a miss from them here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is like the highlight of the episode for them.
It's like such a not a good idea. Like, who would believe that Chang, like, this is
it's
the worst.
Too much.
Like, it is. Yeah. They went too far with it. They should have gone for, like, a local state college.
Right. Yeah. Like, maybe you do Princeton. Maybe you do, like, a job offer at Princeton. You don't do the whole offer already. Like, you have, like, an interview.
Yeah.
But then name your price. Like, that's very
good. Bridge too far. Right. Come on.
Is it not possible, though, that, that Chang is so high on his own supply that he believes that Princeton would come calling?
Chang knows well enough that he's
what he is.
He knows what he is. He's aware.
Have you met me?
No, you're right, Josh. That's why I'm saying I think that Princeton could have worked if they hadn't gone the step too far of the name your price, because that no college does that. Like, I mean,
name
as far as
price.
I know.
Like, wasn't it literally just like last episode that he pretended to like chomp on Annie's brain? Like,
I think that's right. I think that's correct. It was like, very recently anyway. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
He did try to do that.
So we're now in Abed's dorm. Jeff wakes up on the bottom bunk in a mask, which he pulls off, and there's another mask. He has a pizza delivery guy's shirt on. He realizes it's 3 p.m. Abed's asleep in a dresser drawer. Apparently, they had to reinforce it with 2x4s so that he didn't kill Joel McHale.
That makes sense. So Jeff made 2 outgoing calls, 1 to Britta, 1 to Slater. He doesn't remember either of the calls. This is potentially catastrophic.
Yes. And we find out that being hungover breaks Abed's brain because he can't even remember the name of the girl in the Breakfast Club.
Margaret. Or the name of it. He just calls it Kids in Detention.
Yes. Molly Ringworm was my favorite option.
Bitter, butter, Beetlejuice.
Got the trifecta there.
We're in the study room. Pierce can't believe he's a size 14 in women's clothing.
He's definitely bigger than a size 14. I'm sorry. Size 14 is not that large.
1,000% agree. Especially because a lot of it has to do with like hips and shoulders. And like, bro, you're not fitting in a size 14. No offense.
Right. When they said that, I was like, okay.
Size numbers are really arbitrary. Like, we don't need to get into a rant about women's clothing sizes. However, they're
go for it. I'll take a sip of water while you do it.
Basically, the thing that annoys me the most about women's clothing sizes is that men get to just measure their legs, measure their waist, and be on the merry way with their pants sizes.
Yeah.
Not
Off
the case for women's sizes. No. We get body shamed by having, you're in double digits, you get very nervous. Or like, I love being called an extra large, my favorite thing in the world. So, it's not okay.
It's not great.
But when I heard 14 and they were shaming him for being a 14, I'm like, 14's not even that big. And
he's not a 14.
And again, that's my case there.
Britta can't believe they're actually going through with it. Pierce and Troy are determined to find out who wrote that letter. Annie wants to confess, but Shirley does not.
I love Troy
thinking that someone from Princeton ran out of Princeton paper.
That's what he thinks happened. Yeah. Clearly, this was from Princeton.
Clearly.
But,
yeah. I feel like the girl in his biology class might actually be a good match for Troy when he says stuff like that. I'm like, yeah.
She's dumb, but she's sweet.
Yeah.
Jeff and Abed enter the study room. You look about ready to marry Courtney Love. Britta calls Jeff Drunky Brewster. Love that name.
Yeah.
And says he called her last night. And Jeff thinks balance is restored. He doesn't remember the call, but balance is restored, so he's happy.
And Abed says, movie reference.
That's so great. Good.
He's broken.
Poor Abed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're hungover, Abed.
He's broken.
Yeah.
We're now at the Valentine's Day dance. The Cupid being is in a kissing booth, and it looks terrifying. Did you see, like, the red lips they painted on this thing?
Yeah, it's horrifying. I mean, the Cupid being is absolutely a slasher killer.
Yeah, like the
Cupid, definitely. That's why I'm not getting a cardboard cut out of it for my room.
Oh, no, I would like it as, like, a deterrent.
Oh, so like true. Thieves.
Yeah, put it in the window.
Put it in the window.
Yeah.
That's very creepy. Nice.
Don't come here.
Yeah.
With the lipstick on especially, I feel like that's especially threatening.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure
signing up for the kissing booth with the Cupid being.
Yeah.
What are you're kissing a nylon sock. It's like, it's creepy.
Get in line.
I would like to get a bunch of human being cardboard cutouts. I would put them in my windows strategically, and I would put one on my door. So like if you manage, like, even from the outside, like, I'm still braving it, I'm going in, then you get to my apartment door and the human being is there, like, oh.
You could do like the Kevin in Home Alone, like, dancing people in the windows. With a bunch of human beings.
Get out of here, you nosy little pervert, or I'm gonna slap you silly.
Yep. Josh, I'd like to be there when you pitch this idea to Emily. Because
she may be able to hear me right now, but I expect it's all out of context.
I expect when we get off.
I would like a lot of human beings for my house.
Yeah,
that's true.
I would like to have a lot of human beings. That he said for the first time in 15 months.
Yeah. Jeff enters the dance with a bouquet of flowers and approaches Slater, who's doing the electric slide. She hasn't been answering his calls. I figured I'd just let it go to voicemail in case you had the wrong number again. Ooh, bad sign.
Yeah, oh no, it's bad. Yeah, it's very bad. So he has to try and, like, de-escalate this. What's, like, his initial excuse
that he gives her?
He was trying to call Britain to order you toffees.
Yes. And he's like, he needs to say it that way so the real answer sounds less ridiculous.
Yes, I did. That may sound dumb, but I needed to open with it so the truth sounded less ridiculous.
I don't know why I loved that so much, but I did.
He says it so seriously. I was trying to call Britain to order you toffees.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
It was great.
Jeff explains the situation to her. Slater says that it seems like Britta and him are friends the way her mom's pool cleaner was with her uncle.
Mm-hmm.
She's quite an image.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, Professor.
Slater says it doesn't make sense that he did all this work to put a smile on Britta's face, but he can't pick up ice cream for Law and Order night because it feels too marriagey.
Yeah.
Well, all chubby hubby, could you pick a scarier name?
Yeah.
Or scarier ice cream? Yes. Chubby hubby, I have to say, I'm a big Ben and Jerry's fan, but chubby hubby is not in my top
five. Like, what even is... Oh, that's
Chubby
an actual...
Hubby. Yeah, Chubby Hubby, is it like...
chocolate-covered pretzels.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they made that up for the show. I didn't realize it was an actual flavor.
Oh, no, Chubby Hubby is kind of iconic.
I thought it was like a play on, like, Chunky Monkey.
Well, that's another one. Chubby Hubby is fine, but the pretzel, it's large pretzel chunks covered in chocolate.
Yeah. And I feel like half-faced is the way to go.
I love a chocolate pretzel. It's got its time and place. I think ice cream, sadly, at least like pre-made ice cream, it's not the right venue because it gets soggy.
Yes.
It gets like stale. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, exactly, Josh.
My dad is like a Haagen-Dazs connoisseur. What a fancy bougie ice cream eater he is.
Haagen-Dazs is great.
My bougie ice cream fan of a father. And so, like, we would eat tons of Haagen-Dazs as kids. We had, like, the local Haagen-Dazs in town. We'd go, come on, let's go to a Haagen-Dazs. That's my father.
That's my impression.
Yeah, that's my impression of him. over the years, I came to, like, break out from just, like, the standard chocolate vanilla. And they tried this flavor called caramel cone that seems like it should be great.
Mm-hmm. Is it caramel on, like, ice cream cone chunks?
It's like a chocolate-covered cone, and caramel drizzle in the vanilla ice cream. And like, that's like chunk, like the chunk of cone. So it's, you're supposed to get like some big crunch. And it's just like soggy nonsense. So like anytime like you can't do like a crackery cookie-ish.
But, so Ben and Jerry's does Americone Dream, which is the version of the Ben and Jerry's version of that caramel coffee or caramel cone crunch, and it's better. They do a little bit better, but I agree. You just can't have too much of the crispy stuff because it gets too
science,
stale. In
the science isn't there yet, Martha.
Yeah, no. If you get it fresh at Cold Stone, or a local ice cream place.
Yeah, you get local ice cream place, and then they like dump it on or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that's gonna work.
It can't,
that's good.
Can't
and
have
and
been
in
sitting
fact,
in the freezer for months, though. No.
In fact, it's gonna be great. But yeah. If it's like been like this for a while, like oof, no. Yeah,
so what's your go-to ice cream then? If you're going to pick up ice cream, not like fresh, like you're getting it out of like the freezer thingy in the grocery store.
I think if it's like designed to be soft, you know, like if it's designed to be.
Way.
I mean, just I could talk about my go-to ice cream for forever. So I don't know if we really want to pick this hole here, but Ben and Jerry's fish food is always going to be my choice. Which is if you're not familiar, it's a chocolate base with a marshmallow swirl. It's got fudge fish and a caramel swirl as well. So those are all soft, as you said.
Sounds pretty good. Yeah,
a chocolate chip situation is going to hold up to the ice cream freezing process.
What about a brownie chunk?
I'm all about a brownie chunk.
Yeah, because for like the same reason that I'm down with like cookie dough. Yeah. Because
cookie dough brownies are soft. Brownies are not hard.
Yeah, they're intended to be soft.
That's the key.
Yes. So like its fundamental essence is going to withstand the ice creamification process.
Exactly.
Yes.
So Slater just doesn't know what she's doing when it comes to ice cream
Chubby Hubby doesn't have a good
He's maybe doing her a favor.
Yeah, that's true.
Ultimately.
If that's what she wants, though, then he's not doing her a favor.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah. I don't think music starts playing. We love music
in community.
The
show's still happening.
Yeah. we're still talking about that. Not all ice cream. Yeah. Music starts playing. We see Chang in a leather jacket with the LT gray. This song, Josh, we have so many good songs on Community, but this one is pretty good. I love that.
Yeah.
You go ahead, because you're such a fan of the song.
I love that hop, how it hit. Everybody stay up on the tip, because they love it when the bass knock. And I love it when the bass kick. Everybody feel it in your soul. Oh. Although you'd never know. Give me the microphone and let me go. Everybody hitting the dance floor. Hear the bass go, so incredible, so cute, them boys, go wild, so sweet, I'm edible. That's what we hear.
Is it
from the perspective of a chubby hubby gallon of ice cream? Gallon of ice cream is a lot of ice cream. I don't know why I said gallon instead of
that's
pint.
they don't make gallons of chubby hubby.
No, they make gallons of like the crappy stuff you get at like kids' parties.
Yeah. Gallon of chubby hubby.
Yes.
Chubby hubby only comes
why
with
not?
A pint.
Yeah.
Not the chubby hubby, no.
And I love watching Chang dance to this. One of the highlights of the episode.
He is great. He's so funny.
He goes
the
all out. Like,
is
you
great.
Have to give. Yes. Yep. The jacket is wonderful. You have to give Ken Jeong credit for literally, like, always giving it 1,000,000%. Like, there's no 90% for him. It is always skyrocketed.
He's all
of
in.
Of course not.
He's all the way in. All the way in.
Yes.
Yeah. Then Troy and Pierce show up and they power walk. In their trench coats.
Yes. Burberry trench coats, by the way.
Yeah,
those are not cheap.
Did they need to go with the trench coats? Because I feel like it's already an unnecessary purchase to get the women's pantsuits. And then
Burberry! Like, that is legitimately expensive. Like, definitely
is this
Pierce
like, this was like Hollywood props department totally out of touch with reality stuff?
Yes, I think so.
Probably, yeah.
They're like, oh, we just had these lying around. Here you go.
Yeah, enjoy your Burberry trench coat. A Burberry ice cream.
They're both very nervous. Oh, sorry, go ahead. They're both nervous. They agreed to never let Chang see them cry. They get ready to take off the coats, and Annie and Shirley admit to sending the letter. Pierce says, "Well, nice fix, Tweedledum and even Tweedledum."
Yeah, that was good. Stupid. I used to, my sister Alice used to always say Tweedledum and Tweedledummer. About me and my friends, or I, maybe her dad called, I don't, somebody called her Tweedledum and Tweedledummer because they dressed as the Tweedledum and Tweedledee for Halloween one year. But I do like even Tweedledum as the
and even Tweedledum.
Yes,
got her.
That's so funny.
And he wants to tell the truth and take the punishment. Troy says they can't do that. Pierce, this whole thing started because you and I were ashamed that we didn't have ladies that cared about us. And the good news is we obviously do. The bad news is it makes our manly duty to protect them tonight.
Yeah.
I love this moment for Troy. That's so sweet.
Yeah. So they're gonna handle this like men. And they remove the trench coats. Yes. And they power walk in their power suits and dance with Chang.
Every episode, I love Donald Glover. I love him so much. His face, the agony when he's like twerking up against, grinding up against Chang, when he's like dancing around him and his face, like the facial expressions that Donald Glover has, it's so funny. And it like, that was on the second time I watched it. Like it was cracking me up so much that I was like, all right, this episode is actually like better than I thought it was. Just that face alone really brought the score up, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
This is really funny physical comedy, like you said. Chang's moves were already so great. And then, just adding, I mean, Pierce wasn't really bringing much to this, but
no.
It's Pierce. So, what do we expect?
Apparently,
but Troy was great.
It would surprise nobody to hear that Chevy Chase gets very upset when he gets emasculated on the show. But for whatever reason, apparently when they put him in this pink pantsuit, I guess one of the boom guys or somebody on set laughed hysterically, and he was in heaven for like a month after that because someone laughed and he like was living his best life.
I believe it.
Pantsuit.
Okay. I believe it.
Yes. Britta arrives at the dance in a small red dress with red lipstick. She looks fire. Britta looks amazing.
Yeah. But I love again, just like the secondhand embarrassment, because I'm at this moment where I'm like, no, what's about to happen? Yeah. Slater's right here. Oh, God.
Oh, Britta, I forgot. Like, you haven't seen this episode, so you didn't know that she's duping him. Yes.
No idea. So I was like, I was so nervous. I was so stressed out, which is exactly what she's aiming for.
Yes.
Mission fully accomplished.
Yes. Yes. Britta says that when Jeff called her, invited her to the dance, she was shocked and thrilled. Jeff apologizes because he doesn't remember any of that. Now he's in the doghouse, and if Slater finds out about this, she'll end things with him. Britta smiles, and Jeff realizes Britta's messing with him.
Mm-hmm.
Slater sees them together and is upset, and this is when Britta plays the voicemail for Slater. So look, I'm really into Michelle, and I don't want to screw it up. She's a perfect girlfriend, and I want you to be as happy as me, because you're like my favorite friend, so sorry, Abba just made a turtle face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cute, and Britta says, to be fair, the turtle face is very, very funny.
Mm-hmm.
All is well. All is well.
Yeah, and then she says that was 20 seconds of a 40-minute voicemail. Can you leave a 40-minute voicemail?
I mean, I guess my memory
of this, I guess.
My memory of this ancient technology. Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But maybe on these old school phones, you
could. You know, you have only so much space for voicemail on your phone, but if you have no voicemails, like, do you have enough room for, like, 40-minute-long calls? Probably.
I think you get cut off on a voicemail now, at least, because, I mean, going back to Shut Up Tim, he loves to leave me voicemails, because whenever I ignore his calls, he leaves me a voicemail to, like, sing a song from Shrek or something, and,
misery.
So I think the longest voicemail I've ever gotten from Tim was, like, a minute and 30 seconds. But I think he gets cut off because I think if he didn't get a cut off, he'd just keep going. So I'm glad I've never gotten a 40-minute voicemail.
Yeah, thank you for that technology so you don't get 40-minute voicemails from Shut Up
Yeah,
10.
Exactly.
Does this come back, the voicemail?
No.
Yeah. So then she may still just continue. She may just be continuing to mess with him.
Oh, well.
I don't think
kind
so.
What's the
point?
The end game with that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they're not even. Now she's regained power, and now he has to wonder what's on the other 38 minutes and 40 seconds, or 39 minutes and 48 seconds of that call.
I could get on board with that.
Maybe. Jeff and Slater make up. Jeff looks back at Britta dancing with Troy as he leaves with Slater.
Yes.
Anytime you get the look back, Sarah and I talked about this recently on my other podcast, and anytime you get the look back in a scene, it's not over. Something's there. You can't do the look back in a romantic setting. It's not good.
Yeah.
We're in the after credits scene. Troy cannot wait to get out of this outfit. Pierce agrees, but then immediately hops on Chang's moped with Chang to get frozen yogurt. I'm not gay, man. They close in 7 minutes. And I really love Troy just calling after Pierce as they drive off. Slut!
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And
I went streets behind!
I saw that.
So, I went streets behind.
I went streets ahead because I love the slut call out. I think it's very funny. So Martha, you're the tiebreaker this week.
I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I also said streets behind. I thought.
We got our first one.
Yeah. I'm sorry, John. I mean, yeah, I'm sorry, Jess.
Oh, it's fine.
I just felt like this was like a little bit like classic mid-2000s homophobic comedy. And I don't know, it's funny that Pierce is on Chang's moped. Like, I don't know. It just felt a little bit cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't very special.
No.
There have been so many better ones. There has also been, over the last several weeks, like, mounting pressure on the podcast to release the Streets Behind valve. and I felt like this was, for me, if we just have to rip the band-aid off on Streets Behind, like, this is a really quick, okay. this is the first one that, for me, like, if it's gonna be pass or fail, this one is right on the line of a little bit of, like, indifference for me, which means it's a fail.
That's the funny thing is, I saw your Streets Behind, and I was like, honestly, I could go either way, and just for the funsies, I'll do Streets Ahead.
I think it's our first Streets Behind.
To be honest, the only part that I really like about it is when Troy calls Pierce a slut, just because I just love his delivery mainly.
His delivery is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I also just think the destination of frozen yogurt is funny, just looking back now in 2021.
That's the best part.
Like going to like 16 handles and like Chang putting every single topping on his ice cream.
At Froyo, can you do a chocolate dip pretzel dish?
Yeah, of course.
I would agree because with that for sure.
Again, like, you know, you're not getting that prepackaged. In, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it all comes back to ice cream, frozen yogurt. Yeah.
I do think though, like, this is not like a special scene.
No.
And then like the times where it's like sort of like been on the verge, it's usually like, I think like the power of these scenes is that they're like largely disconnected from the rest of the episode as well. This one just like feels like this could have happened before. The final scene of the episode. Yeah. So it just feels like it was like a holdover.
Yeah. That's fair. I think for me, it's very clearly
the weakest scene of the episode. Yeah. And the episode otherwise is like, I think, really strong.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I rated this pretty high and this is still my first Streets Behind. So it's like, I loved the episode, but this is a pass or fail course, folks.
Yeah.
It's time. It's happened.
It happened.
It took 16 episodes,
but it happened.
It did. All right. We've got some feedback to get into here, the F community feedback. Let's take it to Riley. Riley writes in and says, I think Abed is kind of right about Britta challenging Jeff. While Slater doesn't want Jeff to change, but I do think that eventually after Jeff grows through season one, where he ends is kind of in a similar place to Britta. As the show goes on, Jeff doesn't have to change to be with Britta. Once more, Britta's flaws come through in season two. So I just found that interesting. Britta becomes future Slater. Is this like spoilery for me?
It's not at all.
I was going to say.
No,
like,
it's not.
I feel like that's on the line.
No, it's not at all.
Streets Behind.
I wouldn't have put it in here if it was spoiler. But basically, what Riley is saying is that you've seen enough of the show of seasons 1 through 3 to know that Jeff really does change a lot in, you know, post season one. And we both know, we've both talked about it a lot, how Britta definitely more of her flaws come through later on in the show. They dumb her down a lot.
Yeah.
And so I found his analysis interesting. And I don't necessarily disagree. I think that Britta challenges Jeff in a way that Slater doesn't. And you could see why he's attracted to her because everything is very easy with Slater, even to the point where they nearly broke up. And Slater was very, very quick to forgive Jeff, and a lot of people wouldn't be. She makes it very easy for him. And in that way, like, where's the passion, right? Like, I could totally see that being a thing.
Like Abed said, yeah. I'm on board with it, too. I am somebody who, back when I was watching it, was, like, a total Jeff and Britta shipper back I was in high school and I was like, oh, I feel like they like had such chemistry and I was like, oh, I just love it. And now that I'm watching it again, I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know if that's how I feel. But yeah, no, I think that's a good analysis. And honestly, when Abed was saying it in the episode, I was like, yeah, that actually is a pretty good summary of how the two of them are. So yeah, no, I'm with it as well.
Yeah. The wisecrack pantsuit writes it and says, Abed saves an otherwise average episode with his movie recreations and hangover brain forgetting how to Abed. I really love when he and Jeff get paired up, as I feel it results in Jeff in his most authentic state, not trying to impress. I really did like the combo of Abed and Jeff. They go together much better than ice cream and pretzels.
Oh my God.
So well said. Yes. No, I think this is totally true. Like, I just love that we have, like, I feel like when Jeff gets paired with other characters, sometimes it's not as.
Yeah. I do think that Abed really does bring out the best in Jeff a lot of the time. And I love whenever we get, I don't need Abed to be the center of attention every single episode, but when he is, like, he really does shine, which I thought this was another. I love the different pairings and how the show is willing to experiment with that. And yeah, it worked here. It worked in this episode.
For sure. Eric Divestein with, have you met me? Maybe my favorite Chang line so far. The delivery is so great. Yeah, do we agree that's the line of the episode? Have you met me?
Yeah, probably. That's, I also love the Keebler nose.
Yeah, Keebler nose is good. And then one last bit of feedback from Ryan. Ryan says, what's best about the love triangle here is that it isn't really a triangle. I love Britta messing with Jeff when she shows up in the dress. Me as well. That was hysterical. Yeah, it's not really a... is it, though? I don't know. It kind of...
they leave it open-ended, but for this episode... but for this episode specifically, right? Like, it's not that Jeff is trying to get with Britta. He just wants to make her feel better because the balance needs to be restored in their friendship. So it's not about him, like, choosing between Britta and Slater. Like, that's not what the episode is.
Got it. Okay. All right. Let us touch upon these meow meow beans. The meow meows are ratings for each character in this episode. I shall go first. I feel like I'm lower on Pierce, Shirley, and Annie, who I've given a 3-2. Though I mean, again, like, that's still a pretty good score. I think everybody in this episode is really hilarious. I put Chang at a 3.5, and I feel like I could have gone higher with Chang. I think I'm going to go higher with Chang. I think I'm going to give him 4. He really cracked me up this week. I gotta give, because we've talked about this, I gotta give Chang props where I can. Otherwise, he's really going to get left streets behind. Troy, I gave a 3.5. He had some really funny lines that put him just like a notch above Pierce. Then Abed is also a 4 alongside now Chang. And I thought that this was a standout Jeff and Britta episode. I'll give them both a 4.5. 4.5 of these meow meow beans to the Ross and Rachel of Community. That's a comparison that'll hold, right? I think.
Not really. I don't like it.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't particularly care for it.
Gersh.
Sorry. Yeah. So that's where I'll land with my
meow meow beans. I'll go next. I gave Jeff a perfect 5. I love Jeff in this episode. Honestly, I almost gave him a 4.5, but the fake drunk act really did kill me. I just thought it was so funny that I gave him a 5. I gave Abed a 4.5. He easily earns this 4.5. I just like to hold out for like a perfect 5 in very special circumstances.
Yeah.
I gave Britta, Troy, and Chang all 4s. I know, shocking. I gave Chang a 4. He cracked me up. The dancing.
He's very funny.
The dancing was funny. The have you met me was hilarious. Yes. I loved the jacket. All of what he did, I thought was just enough Chang. Any more would have been too much. Any less would have been, you know,
it flirts with it. It's right. It's right there.
Danger. Yeah.
It's right there. It's right there. It's close.
Yeah. Britta got a 4. I thought she was awesome in this episode. I love her showing up in the red dress and fooling Jeff. Troy, hilarious. His face when they're dancing cracks me up. I gave Shirley and Annie 3.5s. I love their relationship and I love when they get paired together. That's probably why I gave them, like, probably I should have given them a 3, but I just love that pair so much that I had to skew it a little bit up. And Pierce got a 3 for me. Again, he was above average for me, but above average Pierce is still never going to be my favorite character. Sure. I thought that the scenes with him and Troy were really carried by Troy, in my opinion. So, he got a 3 from me.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's fair.
Yeah. I was also really high on the Jeff, Britta, Abed trio. I gave Jeff a 4. Britta, I was not quite as high on. I gave 3.5 for her. I just felt like some of the Britta stuff was not quite as good as the other two. And then I gave Abed a perfect 5 because Abed just, there's so many great lines from him. And yeah, he's always going to be my favorite most of the time. So yeah, I gave him a 5. Troy got a 4. And I actually gave Pierce a 4 as well.
Wow.
I honestly felt like the two of them just were like a perfect buddy comedy there. So Shirley and Annie both got 3s. They were really not there too much. And then I gave Chang a 3 as well. Because even good Chang is still Chang. So I couldn't really go over 3.
That's completely fair. Fair. Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
Martha, can I ask your opinion on something that we started getting into recently on the podcast? So Dean doesn't qualify for the Meow Meows yet. He will, right? He'll be a series regular starting season 3, I am to understand, but that's when he's going to qualify for Meow Meow Bean. So he's going to be like coming in complete clean slate while everybody else is like in like relatively deep hundreds. Will, by the time Community ends, who will have more Meow Meow Beans? A Professor Chang who has had a 2-season head start on the Dean, or the Dean with the 2-season deficit?
I have to go with the Dean because Kelton is one of my favorite characters. I mean, once he becomes a season regular, I'm definitely putting my money on.
I know Kelton, it's tough mathematically, but I truly, truly believe
really
it's
hard. It's really hard.
Yeah. Fun fact about the Dean. I did Friends trivia about 2 years ago, and one of the questions was who is the person on the plane what are the scenes with him on the plane? And I could not think of Jim Rash's name, but I wrote on my card the Dean in Community and didn't get the point. But all my friends were like, who's the Dean in Community? And I was like, I love that maybe scene. I'll get the point. I couldn't get it.
Something is wrong with the left phalange.
Yeah.
Amazing.
so good.
All right.
So we don't have a ton of movement in the current season 1 character rankings. Britta and Jeff have swapped places. Jeff is now 3rd and Britta is 4th, but it's still a tight race. He's at 171. She is at 170. Anybody's game there. Abed is streets ahead, as we like to say, at 181.5. Chang is in triple digits now, but he's still not that far into triple digits. So,
all right, well, let's do the Dean's list. We give a point for everybody who is, or everybody gets a point for one guest star per episode. I do love Professor Slater, and she's like really the character, that you would have, like, if you're, but like, when the human being shows up, I'm at a loss as to defy the human being. That's not going to be me. I'm not going to be the one who does it. Although I was tempted to give a point to little Leo.
That's who I gave mine to. Yeah. I was like, how can we not give it to... Well, he's listed on IMDb as Abed's Chang is the name of the character, but Leo is the name.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Show. But yeah, I was like, how can we not recognize the next Christian Bale?
Yeah, it's a very fair point. It's a very fair point.
Such
I think that
stealer.
Should be. Yeah, I think that should be recognized.
It was plus, he just quit smoking. That's great. Good job.
We ought to give him some. Yeah, we ought to give him some props for that.
I understand, but I also gave it to the Cupid being. I was tickled by the kissing booth and just him walking around with arrows, and I love the whole bit. So I also gave it to the human being.
Yeah, bet. So how many does the human being have total now? 7?
5.
5?
5.
5 points for the human being. He's in 3rd. The human being, top 3, baby. Mm-hmm. Does the human being show up again in this season of Community?
I mean, I'm sure he's wandering around, probably, yes.
Yeah, I'm just looking, who can compete? Who can compete with Dean? Mm-hmm. Nobody, really. It's up to Vaughn. Vaughn is the last chance.
He's on a vision quest right now.
He is. Let's see what he comes back with. All right, we'll rate the episodes in the cool coolant system, to which I am giving Just a clean 3.6, Jess Sterling. I loved this episode. That was great. Mm-hmm. That was really, really fun. Happy with this. If this is like the caliber of Community episodes, you know, the rest of Community could be of this caliber and I would be thrilled. Mm-hmm. I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, I am just a little bit under you at a 3.4. Reason being, I had episodes like Intro to Film at a 3.6. I had Social Psychology at a 3.5. And in my opinion, this is just under where that is. I really love the Britta Jeff Abed situation. In order to get more points, we just have to have more of Annie and Shirley. I just felt like they didn't have as much to do, and therefore I couldn't quite give it such a high score.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my thought too, Jess. I said 3.2, so I'm a little bit below both of you. Yep. I'm just thinking, I like when we can see the whole ensemble, and we had the big A plot with Jeff and Britta and Abed, and then we had the B plot with Troy and Pierce, and then Annie and Shirley were really tangentially related to that. Yeah. They hardly had any moments, and those are two great characters I wanted more from. So in order to get higher than 3.5, I feel like we gotta have all of them, but
that's fair.
Yeah, especially my favorite Annie, like, you know, I have to have more of her.
Annie,
so
Annie had hardly any, like, her best line was what, like, Vaughn's on a vision quest.
With Shirley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's great. Yeah.
It's cute, but yeah. So the audience was closer to you, Martha, at a 3.23, which brings our current average to a 3.36, which actually ties it. This episode is tied with season one, episode 13, Investigative Journalism, at 7th place.
Okay, so this is like midpoint of our current season one standings right now, which feels low to me, but maybe that's just like a testament
to that.
Well,
they're all really
tight, though. Yeah, that this is like a, yeah. We have entered a great run of episodes, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, we have three episodes in the 3.3-ish range three episodes in 3.4-ish range. So it's all very, very close. And as a reminder, you can send in your ratings after the fact, community@postshowrecaps.com. If you haven't been sending them in, that's fine. You can get them in by the end of season one. Send in your backlog if you have it. We'd love to have it. More information is always better.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. So we are saying goodbye to Communication Studies, a great fun episode of Community. We are saying ta-ta for now. More than 5 minutes on Community, Martha. Did you enjoy talking about a piece of live action filmed entertainment that was more than just 5 minutes of live action filmed entertainment?
It's about the same amount of time that we spend talking about 5 minutes of Prisoner of Azkaban, but
I really do love the premise. I gotta say, I do. I think it's a great idea.
You can shout out Shut Up Tim for the idea, although his idea was to do a minute at a time, so we improved it, I think. But
that's too much. That's not good enough.
It's too little, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
No, but it's great. I love the opportunity to get to talk about something besides Harry Potter. As much as I love Harry Potter, that's like all I talk about. So very fun to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me, both of you.
Have you sorted the Community characters into
we have
Hogwarts
not.
Houses?
What a convenient question. I wonder who we could invite to be guests on that episode.
It needs to happen. It needs to happen. Yeah.
This is out there.
Yeah.
That's definitely
I'm thinking
definitely
about who goes into what now.
I just watched you like put in that work. Jess is already like,
it's like my brain is like.
Yeah, Alice was a big Community fan back in the day too. We've had Community on the list for a long time of Sorting Hat episodes, but we didn't have a Community podcast to reach out to until recently. So,
well, how about that?
Yeah,
how about that?
So hopefully that can happen sometime.
Convenient timing, Martha. Where can people find you? If they want to get into more Real Weird Sisters or anything else that you got going on?
Sure. I'm on Twitter at Real Weird Martha. And that's a little bit easier to say than Real Weird Sisters. Real Weird Martha. And the podcast is The Real Weird Sisters. We're anywhere you're listening to that you can listen to podcasts. That's for our character studies, our Sorting Hat episodes, our Take Fives. Most recently, we sorted the season two of The Circle, with two, great RHAP podcasters, Mary Kwiatkowski and Sarah Carradine. So
amazing.
Definitely check that one out if you can. And, that's where you can find us pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Nice. Amazing. Jess, Do I even have to ask?
What are the 90s teaching me this week?
Yes.
So this week, we're going to be putting out a special bonus podcast. Well, we just released our Sandlot podcast, finally. My husband, Will Afferty, was on guest starring with us. Really fun podcast. Sarah had never seen Sandlot. I don't know how that's possible, but she hadn't. Spoiler alert, not her favorite movie ever, but I also think it wasn't ever going to be. And then we also have coming out this week special bonus content for the Friends reunion. We're going to be covering that. It'll be out on Friday because we're recording it the day that it releases on Thursday. We're really excited for it. I'm hoping it's not a complete mess, which is what I'm guessing it's going to be. But any Friends content, in my opinion, I'm excited for because I loved the show Friends. So that will be coming up on Friday. And as usual, we are also covering Dawson's Creek, and we just finished season 2 of Boy Meets World. So that is out as well. And
awesome.
That is at Shit90sPod, Twitter, Instagram, and you could find us on any podcast app of your choice.
All right. So go get all of that good stuff. Plenty of good stuff here on the post-show recaps as well. So we've got Down the Hatch, we've got the Final Fantasy podcast, we've got Everything is Super right now with Superman, we've got the Bloom Files, we've got so many different things. That's not even accounting for all the patron stuff that we've got going on, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. At that $5 level, you're getting lots of free podcasts, including early access to community building coming your way a little bit earlier if you are a patron of Post Show Recap. So consider signing up, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Well, why don't we quickly find out what do we next week? Physical education. Who do we have lined up as our guest for next week, Jess? Ben the Tub Taub.
Mm-hmm.
He's from season 0.
Yes, if you were a patron during season 0, you were familiar with him. He did come on with Mike Bloom early on. He's coming back. Really excited for Ben to return.
I love Ben. I'm a huge fan. Big fan of Ben. Fellow Syracusian. So very excited to catch up with Ben on a podcast. Mm-hmm. He's a great podcaster. It's going to be a really, really, really fun show.
Also, one other thing we probably should plug is that we're doing part 2 of our community building Dungeons & Dragons game.
Oh, true.
Back when in January, when Josh and I were both wee little babes in terms of Dungeons & Dragons, we have now matured into full-on...
That's a heavy word. I don't know.
We have matured into full-on Dungeons & Dragons nerds, I would say. And we're going to do part 2 this week. LaTanya, Mike Bloom, Kevin Mahadeo, and Philly will all be joining us. We are recording that Wednesday. So if you're not a patron, you definitely didn't hear this message. But go listen to it because it's coming out as a podcast. I'm really excited to play Branny again. Going to be a ton of fun.
It's going to be really fun. So consider signing up. Patreon.com/postrecaps to get that bonus episode. Otherwise, we'll be back next week. Physical education with Ben Taub. At this point, we are going to just elbow our way out. Corey B, take us away.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine away. Community building is here to